right, everybody. Welcome back to the Comedy Castle podcast. I'm Joel Fragamenti, going to tell you what's going on this week at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. And good week here. It's Halloween week, so it's a little different. Let's get into it, all right? Tonight, as I'm putting this out, it is getting late, but we have the Two Dykes and a Mike show topping Your Best Friend Tour. They've been with us before. That's a funny show, Two Dykes and a Mike. I like those ladies a lot. Just get their names here officially. Mackenzie Goodwin and Rachel Scanlon. And they were with us before doing this live podcast thing. And there's all kind of premium seating, a meet and greet add-on as well. If you're listening to this on Tuesday and you want to come, it's at 7:30 tonight on the 29th of October. And then tomorrow night, Wednesday night, October 30th, another great open mic night for you, the Comedy Castle. I forget who's on this lineup. I took a look at it yesterday, and I was like, yeah, it'll be fun. Open mic night, the former Devil's Night, which is no longer exists. Good on you, Detroit, for getting rid of Devil's Night. They did it. Thursday the 31st, we are closed for Halloween at the Comedy Castle, so please enjoy your family, enjoy an evening sitting around handing out candy if you don't go out yourself with little ones, or going to the bar and getting messed up, right? That's what people do on Halloween, but please be safe if you are going to do that. But we are closed on Halloween, so our staff can enjoy that with their families, okay? And then we'll be back with you on Friday and Saturday night. Four shows, the regular show time, 7:15 and 9:45 on Friday, 7 and 9:30 on Saturday with Jeffrey Osmus. Jeffrey has been on this show before. I did not interview him this week, but he is a very funny dude. I was watching his Instagram today, really enjoyed it. Look him up if you don't know him. His debut album, Prodigal Little Bitch, was number one on iTunes. His podcast is called You're an Idiot, and he's a very funny dude. He does a little crowd work too, a little crowd clip thing there with Jeffrey. If you check out his Instagram, very funny stuff though. So four big shows with Jeffrey Osmus, and it's going to be a good time. So come to those shows. And then my interview today that you're going to hear is with a comedian who's on next week. T-Barb is joining me on today's show. Yeah, she's in Thursday, November 7th. We'll talk to T-Barb in just a couple of minutes and set that up for you properly, all right? So if you want to hear Jeffrey, back to Jeffrey. If you want to hear Jeffrey, go to comedycastlepodcast.com. There is a link to his show. I believe it's show 104. So I don't know if that'll come up on your Spotify or not, because it only goes back so far. But you can get it at comedycastlepodcast.com if you want to hear Jeffrey Osmus. Tom McCarthy was interviewing him too. But anyway, before we get into T-Barb, we got to talk just as a moment, just as a comedy teacher. And you being a comedy fan, maybe a comic yourself listening to this show, talk a little bit about what went down over the weekend at Madison Square Garden, the Donald Trump rally. Comedian Tony Hinchcliffe, of course, the host of Kill Tony, opened that show and made more than one joke that can be considered very offensive. Of course, the one that everyone's talking about is, there's a floating pile of garbage in the ocean, and it's called Puerto Rico. That was the essence of it. I know it wasn't funny, as I said. It wasn't really funny when he said it either. And everyone's worked up about it. Are we, should we be upset? How could this guy do this? The whole thing. Here's my take on that. Here's the thing. Look, comedians should not be banned, canceled, for things that they say as part of a comedy show, as part of entertainment. They're trying to make you laugh. I think the Puerto Rico joke's in very poor taste. It's not a joke that I would tell. If a student was in my class and they wanted to tell that Puerto Rico joke and they did it for me on a Saturday afternoon, I'd say, I think you should drop it. I don't think that should be in your act. That's going to make people not like you. I wouldn't do that thing. And I'm telling you not to do it. I think it could hurt your career. Now, of course, if they chose to do it, it's their show. I always tell my students, the young comedians I work with, If you want to do it, you are ultimately responsible. It is your show. The words that come out of your mouth are your responsibility, and the audience will look at you and say, hey, this guy's a real jerk. I don't like this guy. And I think that's, and Tony knows that. And when Tony performs comedy, that's what he does. And he's done roasts. He did that Tom Brady roast everyone was talking about on Netflix a few months ago. And look, I think Tony is a funny comedian. I think his jokes are in poor taste, and he knows they're in poor taste. I think the outrage, and I don't think this is a wrong outrage. I think if you are bothered by this for this reason, then you're welcome to be bothered, but we should not cancel comedians, is that this was not a comedy show, okay? This was a political rally. You were trying to get people to vote for the candidate that you were there supporting, in this case, Donald Trump, and to tell a joke that really is, I don't know if it's racist as much as it is just mean, I think is completely wrong. I think that does reflect incredibly poorly on the candidate who hired them or the campaign that hired him, because the Trump people, of course, have completely backpedaled on the whole thing. Trump has come out today and says, I don't even know who this guy is. I didn't know who he was. Somebody hired him. And the campaign, of course, said he made comments that were not in line with their beliefs. But come on now. You know what's going on. And we know that people laughed at that at the rally. We know some people believe that Puerto Rico is a garbage place. It's part of the United States. You are literally insulting a portion of the United States that votes for the presidency. My goodness. Well, he's in it now, Tony. And of course, a lot of comedians go, ah, Tony Hinchcliffe always sucked. Look, here's the deal. Comedy is very specific. It's very personal. If you don't like somebody, that's okay. Don't buy a ticket. Don't support him. My belief is this really won't hurt him much at all, at least with the people that like him. And, you know, maybe mainstream opportunities don't come his way, and that's okay. You know, maybe he's all right with that, Tony. But that Kill Tony show, I don't think that thing's going anywhere. I think that's a big show. And he's got to deal with Netflix, apparently. He did a special for them. So Tony's really not going anywhere, you know. He's not going to be hosting the Tonight Show, but he wouldn't have been doing that anyway. So I think we can all move on. And then, you know, if you're a Trump fan, maybe you should be upset. You know, you should be, hey, maybe we don't have this at our rallies. Make people hate us. Because, look, the election will be close, at least in some places. We're a swing state here in Michigan. And I don't want to tell you who to vote for, but was not a good look from Trump and Tony. In a way, Tony should know better, but in a way, you know, you got what you paid for, right? You hired him, you got what you paid for. That's what he does. All right, guys, back to my interview. T Barb on the show today. She's got a lot of cool stuff to plug, talk about. She's got great stories. I mean, you'll hear how we met. It must have been her first year in comedy when we met. You'll hear that story. It was interesting to hear that she had some show business roots that I did not know anything about. It was a really cool story there. Didn't get a lot of detail. She didn't know a lot of detail, but that was really cool. And of course, she's really hustled and really hustled hard in her career to get where she is. We'll talk about some of the things that she has done to hustle throughout her career, real risk-taking things. But T-Barb is a really a beloved figure in the Detroit comedy scene. She's one of the nicest people you'd ever want to meet, and she's a very, very funny comedian, and she tells it like it is on stage, and I really enjoyed talking to her. I really enjoy her set. It's one night. It's Thursday night, November 7th. So you can get your tickets, of course, on comedycastle.com. Let's take you to that interview right now with T-Barb. Ladies and gentlemen, on the other end of my line, it is a real privilege to talk to T Barb on the Comedy Castle podcast. How you doing today, T Barb?
Hey, what up, though? What up, though? I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing okay. You know, it's a pleasure to talk to you on the show. I've seen you. I mean, we used to do shows together.
Yes, we did.
We did, yeah. Remember O'Mara's restaurant in Berkeley, you and I doing a show together.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, I think I've probably done comedy in a barn.
Yeah.
Who knows? But yeah, I do remember those shows.
Doing those shows.
Just watching the growth, yeah.
Yeah, but now, I mean, you're headlining all over and doing great.
Oh, man, I'm headlining at the one and only Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. So what an honor.
Yeah.
Just thinking about the growth over my comedy career, it chokes me up. I'm an emotional gangster.
But you've worked so hard at it, and we've all seen that, everyone in Detroit anyway, that's been around and following what you've been doing. So, yeah, I mean, I sort of remember you coming up. And just sort of being this like not in the comedy classes, not even really on the open mics, just like, hey, I'm doing shows and I'm T-Boy. And then I also knew you through, we have a mutual friend, Nicole.
Yes, we do.
Who
yes,
I did radio with, yeah.
And Nicole was great. She actually was one of the people who pushed me initially to, to go out and do my thing and was very supportive. So I'll always be appreciative of her. And she's pretty cool too.
Oh, she's fantastic. But yeah, it was me and it was Mike Bonner's show.
Yes, on 9:10 a.m.
9:10 a.m. It was, I think it was 11 to 1. And he had every comic on that show, but I was there. I was the regular, I think, Tuesday guy on that show.
I definitely remember those days. But
that's probably how we met, I think, originally. It was that show.
I think that is how we met, because I came on the show several times. Once again, you end up being kind of a regular, maybe coming every couple of months. And it was in the middle of the night. We should have been asleep. But we were up talking and those were good times. And then, at Ridley's, I would come through. I didn't even think about that part that I really didn't.
Yeah,
do
it was just
the class. I was working a full time job when I started with the state. It was just different. I think I was a little older. So, auntie.
But you got there, and that's not, it's not about how you start. It's sort of where you end up, right? And, you can end up being a headliner at the Comedy Castle by doing the open mic and emceeing and then featuring and doing all, or you just come in and do your thing. I mean, that's the thing about you. Because I think when Nicole introduced you to me, I was like, I don't know who this guy, I know all the comedians. I've never heard of this lady. But it was also a thing where, like, when you're good early, people want to know, like, where'd you come from? Like, how did you get? You're pretty good. I mean, even when I saw you, I don't know how long you've been doing it. And it was like, oh, this lady's fantastic.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, I'm on year number 8 right now.
Okay.
And I think that I've just always been a funny person.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up in Detroit, it just was something that I would use to get through tough times. And then come to find out, I had it in my bloodline. My great grandparents. Mm-hmm. were famous vaudeville comedians, Butterbeans and Susie, that discovered Mom's Maybe. Wow. Yes. And I found that family history out after. I was like, oh, no wonder I'm so goofy. Because I was goofy when it wasn't popular.
Right.
Like, now it's popular, but in high school and class clown. And so when I was introduced to it by a coworker, I was doing adult protective services, believe it or not. And one of my coworkers did shows and I told her it was on my bucket list and she invited me in.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing it ever since. So, and I've done a lot of shows. I mean, probably thousands of shows over that time. I cannot remember a time or a week that has went by, even with the pandemic, because we were doing Zoom shows that I did not perform somewhere. So,
Yeah, you love it. You're keeping busy with it. And then I remember,
I love it.
And then I remember another thing you did that was a little different is you just went out on tour.
Yes.
Didn't wait for an invitation. You just said, I'm going here and there and I'm headlining and I'm bringing my Detroit people with me and all that stuff. It was tremendous. Tell people about that.
Yes, I have done 2 independent tours. And it's crazy because I went out to Hollywood. I did the Hollywood Improv. I was blessed with that opportunity. And when I came down, there was a talent manager there that worked with rappers that was like, I can help you cultivate a tour for yourself.
Yeah, okay.
And we did Dallas, Houston, Shreveport, Louisiana, Lafayette. I went to college in New Orleans, so we did a show in New Orleans. Independent tour. I've done Dallas. I've done California. I've done Chicago. Grand Rapids is a good home. Traverse City. Just putting things together because some people, they'll wait on an opportunity. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
And then there are some people who want to produce their own. And I felt like I needed that experience. Mm-hmm. It's important to know what it's like to do comedy outside of just your main
thing. Yes.
You know, you may think you're hilarious. And of course, to your auntie, your mama, you are hilarious, but you got to go test it other places.
Well, that's terrific. I mean, that's a lot of something that a lot of comics will never do because they're worried about losing money. Oh, I got to fly myself here. I got to make this long drive and buy all these hotel rooms for myself and stuff. And you bet on yourself.
It takes money to make money.
Yeah, you bet on yourself.
And the thing is, if you're not investing in yourself, this is what I see often. I mean, and I think, you know, different strokes for different folks, but if you don't invest in yourself, what makes somebody else? Why would they want to spend their money on you and you won't spend your money
on you? Yeah, that's a great way to think of it. And you know, for you, it's worked out. And I think for a lot of people, you're not unique in the sense that I have seen just a few people over the years do this. And in most cases, I don't know if it's just their determination, just a way to get it, or just, hey, I'm going to go do this and I'm going to learn how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where sometimes people will say, well, you're not ready for this. And you say, well, let me do it and I'll learn. You know, I'm a smart person. I'm good. I'm talented.
Well, I think, and today it's so crazy. And I hate to age myself, but it's the truth. Well, I was growing up, we were looking in encyclopedia. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it was like
remember.
You had to go to the library. You really had to put in some work to learn. Now you can go on YouTube and watch videos all day. You can pay for classes online. You can go to different people's pages and content creators and learn things. You can test things out online and you don't even have to be in front of people. Also, I think comedy is the most underrated art and that everybody thinks that they can do it, but they can't. It really is a lot to learn. But when it's something that you love, that's what I feel so blessed to be in this position is I love it. So no matter how many times they're like, boo, like, you know what? Let me find out why they said boo and fix it. And, you know, I was just driven.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, did you have adversity early on or did that? Because some people have a lot of success early on and then it hits them later, like where they're like, they're 3 years in and everything's been a breeze. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, this is hard. Or some people, it's really hard at the beginning. It's easier. You tell me.
No, you're absolutely right. Because I think what I've been seeing with most comics is like the first year, you know what I mean? First year and then they get that boo moment. I think for me, I've had moments in between when you're new. Sometimes you're not reading those moments. You still think you did than what you did because maybe you might have had a pocket full of people that were just on your side. Yeah. But I've had it both ways. I've had some rough days, maybe not as rough as some. Because the good thing about coming from a social work background, especially protective services, is I've been talking to people in public and I know how to read the room.
Okay. Yeah.
So I know when, okay, I'm not going to force the audience to really relate to everything I'm saying. I have a different pocket of something I can go to. And I learned that early on.
Yeah.
You know, not to necessarily, and it might be something new. Hey, let me try some improv today. They don't like what I'm saying.
Yeah. It's psychology.
Hey, big head.
Yeah. You know, comedy really is psychology. It really is sort of figuring out, you know, I always sort of describe it as figure out what they like and see yourself through their eyes and sort of try to figure out, oh, they don't like this, but maybe they'll like this. And then give them more of the thing that they like and less of the thing they don't like until you've really dialed it in.
Absolutely.
What are you good at and what do they like and where do those things intersect? And that's what makes you good.
Mm-hmm.
And some people never figure that out. They just want to do what they like. And he's like, hey, you got to, you know, I'm not saying you got to sell out and do everything everyone else does, but you keep your voice, but try to figure out those the audience. That's important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I also want, I know this about you. I think I don't believe you're in this game anymore, but you were, you had the hot dog cart for years. I remember hearing about that. Tell people about, because that's a real hustle. The hot dog.
That's a real hustle. Absolutely. Yes. So the thing is, I do still have the cart.
Oh, you do?
I just don't operate daily. Yes. I'll never get rid of it. It's my baby.
That's
Because I've operated for 20 years.
Really?
So, yeah. So when I was in college, I worked there as my home from school job, mm-hmm. kind of summer job thing. And he wanted to retire and I bought it. And I was downtown.
Yeah.
Downtown Detroit. I want to say for maybe about 16 years.
Okay.
So all the way up until the pandemic. So I started off on Congress and Woodward. Mm-hmm. Then I was there the year after Campus Martius opened.
Okay.
We had our spot on Cadillac Square and Woodward. Where I stayed for 12 years. Wow. I've done the first ball drop. I've done New Year's Eve. I've done the lighting of the tree for years. I've done Thanksgiving Day Parade. Like 12, 13 years. I mean, I've really put in a lot of work. And when the pandemic hit, we were actually on Jefferson and Randolph, right outside of the city county building.
Yeah.
And then when the pandemic hit, I was doing more private events. But as comedy kind of picked up, and let's be honest, you started to get older, it's a lot of wear and tear on your body. I mean, I have worked. When the Super Bowl was in Detroit, that was my first year.
All right.
And I was selling hot dogs, you know, all night in the cold. And now I'm like, you know what? I think I don't want to push a 1,500-pound hot dog cart. I think I just want to make people laugh.
And
so it just was a great transition for me. But it'll always, I'm like Detroit's hot dog princess.
Yeah, okay.
And what's so crazy now is I'm a vegan. So I don't get out of my own supply.
Yeah.
That's all. But I make the best busted hot sauces you'll ever taste.
Well, there you go. That's and hey, what about maybe that's ideal for becoming a comedian is the hustle of the hot dog cart, the social work, that cerebral part of it, and it all coming together on stage.
Yeah, you know what? I can't lie, because I felt like I've probably done a million comedy sets at the hot dog cart.
Yeah, there you go. Just talking to those people walking by.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. You like downtown Detroit needs its own reality show because it is hilarious. And the mixture of people. And then you get to meet, you know, that corporate person that just wants a quick dog. You get to meet that everyday construction worker who was down. I mean, I met so many people. I mean, from mayors to, you know, I've even had, Dan Gilbert.
Okay.
Has come by the hot dog
cart.
There
you go.
So, I mean, like, it's
lucky
been like that.
Didn't buy the cart from you, but, you know.
I think he was trying. He was like, not this time.
Move you out. This is my turf.
No, what was crazy was he actually had sent his business manager when he first started doing a lot of things downtown to kind of see what would help. And then they started doing the food trucks in the middle of Campus Martius.
Yeah.
That was something based on him just coming and observing what we were doing and asking us how we felt. So big ups to Dan Gilbert. He probably doesn't remember that, but I definitely
Well, you know, you talked about Detroit and how crazy it is. One of the funnest things that I've seen in a while is your Only in Detroit series. On Instagram, it's probably on TikTok too, right? That stuff is so, your commentary, just, you know, the videos are wild. Explain some of these things that people can see that have happened in Detroit that are caught on tape.
Yes, I love it. The one up, don't people love it. So just came out of me being funny at home and doing some different voices, playing with that. Because one thing about comedy is there's so many genres of comedy. You have just pure stand-up. There's different styles of that. You see people who are animated. You see people with those just quick punchlines. Then you see the internet stuff. You see the skits. You see the voiceovers. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? I'm interested in this. So the Let's Get Ready to Rumble. I love that.
Yeah.
And I love What Up Though, because that's really indicative of Detroit. We say that. Mm-hmm. That's a Detroit saying. And I was like, what if I blended those two things? And next thing you know, I was just, you know, I was doing my commentary on the videos, and it was just a hit. So we just kept going, and it's so funny, and it allows me to express my comedic talent in another way.
Yeah, I'm distracted because I'm looking at somebody. I'm looking at the Power Ranger. I mean, I'm looking at
Eastside Power Ranger.
So are you, I mean, I know some of these you're taking from other places and stuff, but are you recording these yourself? Do you, when you see something, do you just put the phone out and whip the phone out and make a video? Do people send them to you? How's this working?
Well, it's a little bit of both. Yeah. It's a little bit of both. So sometimes it really started after, it really started with me seeing some things that were crazy and kind of recording them. It started with with a Family Dollar video.
Okay.
Which a lot of people talk about that. The Family Dollar door has been fixed, but it was a house door on the Family Dollar. And I thought that was hilarious, right? And so I'm like, hold on, they're home. They home.
Yeah.
You know, knock, knock. And that ended up kind of leading to, because, so, you know, sometimes you'll see something, you like, I know that's hilarious. What do I do with that? Mm-hmm. And I think that one video gave me that. And then it went from that to, you know, expressing the voiceovers. And so then people start saying, here, T-Barb, this is hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at this. And so, like, the Eastside Power Ranger, I had got some videos of this guy, but somebody sent me that. You know, they stopped what they were doing to say, you got to catch this. And, you know, so the people send me something. So feel free to send me something.
Yeah.
You never know. You might see it on Only in Detroit.
And so much of what is on, you know, is part of the Only in Detroit, is just Detroiters just like making weird stuff and like improvising. I'm seeing, is it the pickup truck with the stripper pole, the bicycle with the barbecue grill on the front? It's just
Detroit hustles harder.
We
shout
do
out to those shirts. Those, my guys. But it's so true, because one thing about Detroit, like they say, with the grit, the way we are, Metro Detroit as a whole, we will make something out of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It could be nothing there, and you come back, and they'll have a restaurant on that corner, so under a tent. So, you know, it just speaks to our ingenuity, the way we think outside of the box, and it's hilarious, to be honest. I mean, a stripper pole at the park, like mobile stripper pole, is funny.
There's just
no,
so much.
You don't have to come to us. We'll come.
Yeah, we got this. We need this wherever
no
we go.
No car, no problem.
That's unbelievable. So much fun stuff. All right. So tell me now about other opportunities to come your way. I know I've seen you on Channel 4 doing Live in the D.
Yes,
tell us how
yes.
that comes together for you.
I mean, that comes. So I did a 313 day event for WDIV Channel 4. Shout out to Channel 4 and the whole team over there. And they kind of allowed me to curate an hour of comedy for 313 day, which is huge here in Detroit, mm-hmm. you know, the area code. And Detroit is 313. Shout out to my 248ers too, and my 586ers. I'm not leaving y'all out,
hey,
but you know.
I called you from a 313 today, didn't I?
You did.
I sure
no,
did.
I
you didn't
that.
Think it was
you
me,
did.
Did you? You didn't think it was.
No, I thought it was another telemarketer. No, my car is fine, guys.
I got the 313.
So I did an event with them. We did it on the Riverfront Conservancy. Shout out to my friends over there, Mark Pascoe and the whole team. And it was great. They loved it so much. Tati came on out. The team from Live in the D came out, and they invited me to co-host a week during that time, which was shout out to April.
Mm-hmm.
And then they called me back again. So I just co-hosted last week, and we gave some shout outs to the show. November 7th, you guys better be there. Mark, really.
That's right. That's why we're talking.
And and I appreciate you guys. I really, truly, truly do. It's an honor to be. I mean, it's really a prestigious club all across the country. Everybody knows Mark Ridley, mm-hmm. where you want to be able to headline at. And so I did that, and it was great. I mean, I love live TV. It's a lot faster paced then yeah. people think it's like,
right.
get over here, get over there, you know, shut up right now, talk right now. You got to read, okay? If you cannot read or you need your glasses yeah. contacts, then you're not going to do that yeah. good. But it's really fun. Tati is a great host. She's a great lead as far as, you know, her journalistic integrity. And I just want to be myself and add that funny sense of humor,
right.
Which so many of the fans love. I got so much great feedback yeah. from Live in a D. And, you know, I'm a regular there. Also, shout out to Fox, too. They had me on. I've done some comedy segments for them. I've been on Channel 7 with my nonprofit, Feed the Homeless. So I just appreciate that. I've been in Our Detroit. You know, I just appreciate yeah. Detroit media, you know, for embracing me and embracing comedy. And, you know, it's been a good time.
Yeah,
but that Live in the D, that's something different. Yeah, that whole week.
Yeah. And yeah. and you have to, because I know, because I go to Live in the D with a lot of the comedians that come through the Comedy Castle. I'll take them. You know, if they're from out of town and they're going to guest, I'll go in with them, you know, and be in the studio while they're talking and stuff. But stuff comes at you very quickly on those shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. You might be sampling food. You might have animals mm-hmm. in the studio. You might have, you know, and just sitting in the green room waiting to go on with these comics. I held a baby kangaroo in the channel in the Channel 4 green room. There's a picture of it on my Facebook, me with a baby kangaroo in my arms.
Sounds about right.
It's
I
wild.
Came in one day, Santa Claus was there. Yeah, I came yeah. in another day, right. the Grinch.
Yeah.
Was there. I mean, and in full, no breaking of character. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it and the food. Oh my God. One time I was eating, I'm talking about I'm crunching, Joe. I'm crunching, you know, and not realizing I have to read something. So I've swallowed a piece of broccoli whole. And next on, I'm about to die. But yeah, you're right. Because you want to eat that stuff too. I'd be so mad because really, truly don't have time to eat it. But sometimes I'll be like, just one more bite, guys.
Yeah, that morning TV is a harder job. I think some people will turn it on and go, well, they're just sitting there talking, and then they don't realize somebody's going to point at you, and you got to talk right then, and it's live, and it's going out, and there's no second takes.
No second take. Look at this camera.
Exactly.
Catching the right angles, making sure your pants are zipped up. That was a big one for me. It is. It's a good time, though, it is. But it is a lot of work.
Right. Now, tell us about the stand-up show now, where it's at. We know you've done your first album, Live at the Independent.
Yes.
And so you've been working on that. So when you talk about stand-up, where is your act at as far as same material, working on new stuff? Where are you at with that?
Well, sometimes I think material grows.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had some bits that I've retired, of course. Mm-hmm. I've had some bits that I feel like are staples, but I've added so much more.
Mm-hmm.
So right now with my stand-up set, it's new, but it's the same comfort that mm-hmm. you know and love.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I have some staple sets, you know, and things about myself. But as a comedian, you grow and your material should grow too. So jokes have legs.
Right.
So it might start with this little part, and then you may elaborate, you may change, use it to go into something. I think the great thing about my stand-up is that I've heard people say, I've seen you 6 times, and each time it felt different mm-hmm. every time. You know, so you may hear something that's familiar, but you're definitely going to hear something new.
Yeah.
You're probably not going to hear it in that same order of reference. Maybe that you heard it in the first time because I've grown to say, okay, this is positioned best here. Of course, I'm an empty nester now. So
okay.
We're talking a little bit about, thank you. I wish he knew I was an empty nester. He would say, because he's going to school at Wayne State, but he's staying on campus. So
he's staying on campus.
He's so close to the house. Yeah, but I wish he knew he was staying on campus.
I didn't. So I went to Wayne State, and I didn't know Detroiters stayed at Wayne State.
Yes. Well, I wanted to give him a feel. Yeah. I went to school out of state. I wanted him to have a full college mm-hmm. experience. So, you know, we made the decision as a family that would be good for him. But, you know, we're talking about that a little bit. Of course, we're talking a little bit about the social work background. It's the same lively, animated T-Barb that, you know, people have grown to love. We talking a little only in Detroit. We getting our what up show on.
There you go.
You know, I'm a mom. I used to be a social worker. I'm an MBA. I'm a hood rat retired. That is.
Retired.
Relapse retired. Is a part of recovery.
Oh, no.
And we just talking about the whole gambit, you know, chasing your dreams. I mix a little bit of, you know, trying to have some inspiration in there and just really goofy, fun, funny jokes and just letting our hair down and maybe laughing at things that we probably normally would be like, did she say that? And just having a good time. I'm such a mixture of things. I don't know how to be
right.
One thing.
but you're definitely an act, like knowing your act, like you could bring your mom to this. You could bring, I mean, even if it gets a little crude, it's still like, they would still enjoy it. You know, I don't know, you know, do you bring you wouldn't bring a nun to it maybe, but you could bring your mom.
Depending on if I see her or not.
That would change your act with the nun sitting there?
I mean, I'm not going to change it, but I may omit, you know, we may use some more formal words than we would have used. But I just did a show out in Casco, and it was just, you know, it was me and my soccer mom. Shout out to all my soccer moms, you know, my family, all my I love this group, you know, women, we just have so much fun. And they had everybody left their husbands at home. I didn't know. And we had the pro womaness. I mean, the lady said my jaws were hurting. I said, your husband. I said, yeah, tell your husband to thank me later for exercising. I mean, just little silly nuances that, you know, we'll have. So it's gonna be a good time. And I'm excited to showcase some of my newer material. And I mean, the material's been going well, but to showcase it at the castle, it's going to be really nice. I want people to come out.
Yes, come out.
And experience this. I'm also getting ready to do a jump and be bi-coastal to California. So the good thing about it is there's only a couple more chances to see me in Metro Detroit before I take a little break and go out to the West Coast for a little bit of time.
Well, you hear it, people. This is your chance. T-Barb. At the Comedy Castle, one night only, November 7th. Get out there.
Yes. Come on through, guys. I'm going to see you guys.
All right. Hey, T-Barb, what a great talk. Thanks so much for it. I'm looking forward to your evening at the Comedy Castle. It's going to be a great time.
Thank you so much. November 7th. Go get those tickets now, guys.
Get those tickets. Thanks, T-Barb. We'll catch you then. Yeah, man. Hustling. Only in Detroit stuff. Very funny. That's her picture up on the website. Her only in Detroit shirt. I mean, the hot dog carts. I mean, come on. T-Barb is a Detroit original. She's got one big show at the Comedy Castle on the 7th of November. It's a Thursday night. Get your tickets on comedycastle.com. I really like T-Barb. Yeah, thinking about where she started from. I mean, I said I was working with her very early in her career. She was great then. My goodness. She's doing an hour or thereabouts at our club on Thursday, November 7th. So come out for that. And, of course, this week, Jeff Osmus. I mean, you got to come out for that one. Jeffrey Osmus, he's got four big shows this weekend. Wish I could have talked to him, but we did talk to him a couple of years ago. We'll link to that on the website where you see T-Barb's interview. And, yeah, that'll be it. We're going to do it. That's it for the week. That's going to do it. It's going to get you out there. Enjoy Halloween. If you celebrate Jeff Osmus this weekend, we'll see you for those shows. Thanks for listening to the Comedy Castle podcast. Thanks for that. We enjoy you coming. We enjoy you listening. Come on now. Also, I'll plug something of mine. Coming up on November 4th, that's a Monday night, I'm going to be over at the New Way Bar in Ferndale for co-hosting their open mic with Paul Pippitone, who's great. Everybody loves Paul. And I will be there with Paul, co-hosting, celebrating my 25th anniversary of stand-up comedy. It is that day, November 4th. November 4th, 1999 was the first time I ever stepped on stage. And 25 years later, I'll be co-hosting the New Way Bar to celebrate that. It should be a great time. I want you all to come out if you're listening to this, if you're a comic. Come out to the New Way Bar. Maybe get some new faces in there, some fun stuff. It's a fun show. I did New Way Bar last night. That's a fun little open mic on a Monday if you got nothing to do. Comedy Castle's usually closed on Monday. Come out to New Way. Super fun. All right, guys, let's get you out of here. Jeffrey Osmus this weekend. T-Barb next Thursday. Come on, guys. Lots of great shows. Happy Halloween. We'll catch you next week, everybody. Bye-bye.